You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Okay, well, let's go into today's lesson. We're going to do session two of our Belong, Believe, Become series that I put the QR code on the 2 weeks ago of the whole series that I created. And this is something, it's a tool for you. You can find it on our website as well. And it's a tool if you need content when you meet together in discipleship or in mentoring of one another, and you want to know what to cover. We are going through this book called Renovation of the Heart. Now, this is written by Dallas Willard. This book is a rich book. I dare say it's a heady book. It's a heavy book. It's got a lot of stuff in it. It might actually feel in some chapters a little too much. All right, I read a lot of it, and I picked today a few quotes for you that I think really hit home the key things from today's lesson. But if you can read that book and get through some of that, and if it feels a little challenging in certain chapters, go to the next chapter. Find an area, read the table of contents, find content in there. He's really hitting layer after layer after layer of what it's going to take to be a spiritual, growing disciple. It's just filled with depth. So I've made it a little simpler in this study series and divided into 9 lessons based upon our theme of belong, believe, become. And this study series, which you can just download right to your phone, you can use it for times you want to have a great discussion, discipling time, mentoring time, even a little group discussion. So it's a tool for all of you. After today, I'm not going to be preaching again from that book. I'm just giving you lesson 2 as sort of like a little foretaste of the material in there. It's just something available to you, available. We'll make it available on our website for perpetuity so you can use it, because we're a church that believes in growing spiritually. Amen. We're a church that believes in what? One another relationships, connecting to each other. And so that's today's theme, is we belong to the body, and spiritual growth happens in community, right? We grow not independently all by ourselves, but growth happens because spiritual growth involves relationship. And it's maturity that's needed to have healthy relationships, because it's so easy to have unhealthy relationships. All right, it happens way too easy in America, in all different places. Even in the church, sin can occur, all right? Back in my early days as a disciple, we used to have this thing where we would help each other grow in being more Christ-like, and there was this sin, here's the sin that we called it. We called it the sin of weirdness. It's not really in the Bible, right? The sin of weirdness is not in the Bible, but, you know, pride is in there, and if you're too prideful, it's just weird, right? The sin of being lustful is in the Bible, but, you know, if you're lustful in heart and mind, you're going to start acting weird the way you interact in the brother-sister relationships. So sometimes that comes out, right? The sin of weirdness is not in the Bible, but the sin of foolishness is. Being a fool, doing dumb things, saying dumb things, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, acting in a way that just messes up relationships. You need maturity. And here's the thing. As a family, we should be able to tell each other, hey, you know, brother, sister, that was weird the way you interacted. You do it privately. You don't do it in a way that hurts one another. You don't put it out in front of the whole group. But we, you know, if I come in here and I have, like, I don't know, some huge stain or a piece of spaghetti on my shirt, or a piece of spaghetti, you know, sauce on the side of my cheek, I hope you, as my family, I hope you would privately say, hey, Steve, did you notice the spaghetti stain on the, you know, have you noticed you got a piece of spaghetti sitting on the side of your cheek, you know? I'm like, now, most of the time you notice that, but some weird times you don't notice it. But wouldn't a real trusted family member help you out a little bit, right? Right, sisters help out sisters, brothers help out sisters, and vice versa. We help out each other, one another. Brothers help out the brothers, sisters help out. We care enough to train each other to be spiritual. And this happens within community, all right? We grow through committed relationships. And tonight, the challenge is simply going to be this. Initiate one intentional spiritual connection this week. And the week is not on there because it's still in white. You can't read it unless you have x-ray glasses. But that's going to be the challenge we'll get to at the end. Let's get into some scripture about this. Amen? All right. So the main scripture that we find that talks about a connection to one another is in Acts 2, as the church was created. We know Acts 2 is the launch of the church, the first 3,000 baptized into the church. But we find there the verses that say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All right, so you see the beginning of the church, they're devoted to these four things. And one of the four things is, yeah, not only the Bible, hearing the word, right, teaching, the teaching of the apostles. Yeah, remembering communion, that's breaking of bread. Remembering the Lord, death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, prayer, but it says to the fellowship. One of the primary devotions of every disciple of Jesus is a commitment to the fellowship. Being together is crucial. If you want to grow, you need people in your life. And we need the safety of having people that know us well enough, who feel comfortable enough with us to tell us you have something going on that you need to help with, right? And it's superficial, like the spaghetti sauce analogy, but you guys know how it is. Like, if you have something wrong with your person, you want somebody who loves you enough to point it out. You hate to walk in. I know some of you are teachers or you're in public places. Wouldn't you hate to walk in front of a whole class and you just didn't fix something? I'll never forget one of my gym teacher walked out of the bathroom. I think I was in like fourth grade, so we were very immature. But he had a toilet paper hanging out the back of his pants, right? And everyone was just laughing. And I was like, I feel so bad. You know, we were all fourth graders, but the poor guy had that, you know, somebody who loved him hopefully would be, you know, we were fourth graders, so I don't remember anyone having that enough maturity. But I remember feeling embarrassed, like somebody should love him enough to sort of help him out right there. You guys with me? That happens when you have trust. We help each other's characters not have, so to speak, spaghetti sauce right in front of everybody, not having the toilet paper sticking out. Our characters sometimes are like that. And when we have trust with each other, we're devoted to the fellowship, we can really help one another. Amen? All right, let's read the further on. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So I want to have a little pair-share question that I want you to answer. What practices made the community strong, warm, and spiritually alive in the early church? All right, so I want you to discuss it with one another. What practices, and you see a couple of them right here in this text, as well as the idea of just being devoted, but what practices do you think helped make the early church strong, warm, and spiritually alive? All right? And let's have a little discussion with the people next to you right there. Let's just talk about that just for like a minute or two, okay? All right, here's what I want to do. Let me get just a couple of you just to respond publicly. What were some of the things that you saw that created this warmth, this strong, this spiritually alive fellowship, okay? Okay, Diego. And just go ahead and stand up one thing that stood out to you. Okay, great. Great point. And you said it's easy to show up on Sundays and midweeks. That alone helps. A lot of us, there is the scripture. I don't think I have it in here. Oh, I think I actually do have it in here at the end. We'll hit that one. But yeah, lots of time together produces connections, right? Trust gets built by time spent. It's great. All right. Okay, Daniel. Great. Great answer. Yeah.
Come on, Eric. Come on, Eric.
For me, I think probably the food. I know. I'm going to say yeah. And I feel like that's like a good connection in and of itself. I think for me, when I was a team leader, the best way to get to their hearts is always like, you know, offering people their food. Yeah, they're never going to say it out. So.
Yeah. I think you're right. Food is every culture. In some cultures, it's a whole thing, right? Eating together is. I know I was talking to one of the campus brothers. Who says he was out in Argentina, and he was like, "Man, like dinner was like 6 hours long, and that's just how it was. You just went, and that was your whole event, just to eat together, and that was it." But that creates community. That creates community. Amen. All right, let's move on to the next scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says this. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So if you just think of this as each local church, this scripture certainly can fit to the greater worldwide fellowship of churches, but it fits each local body that exists within that community, that each of us is a member of that body. But together, we form this one entity that is the eyes and ears and arms and legs and mind and heart of Jesus in our community. And it says, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is the part that I think we forget as Christians, that we really belong to one another, all right? I've been married 32 years, and I definitely belong to Carrie, and she belongs to me in the marriage covenant. We understand that kind of commitment. I know some of you have recently started dating, or you've been dating for a while, and some of you are engaged, and there's a level of belonging. You know, there's the dating commitment that carries some weight there. There's the engaged commitment that carries even more weight. But then there's, I'm a brother or I'm a sister in Christ, and we belong together as one body. So here's what I want to ask you right now to have in the next couple minute discussion. What environments and or experiences help you feel like you belong in a community? And you could just make it in this community, right? But we obviously have become, we're part of other communities at times that you might feel tied into. But in the Westside Church Body of Christ community, what environments and or experiences help you feel like you belong in this community? All right, let's discuss that for a few moments together. Belonging. Let's get a few responses of what environments or experiences help you feel like you belong in a community. Okay, what kind of things create that? So raise your hand, and Hunter has a mic. Melissa, go ahead.
I mentioned as a small group leader, I think it's nice when people in my group take initiative to do things that aren't prompted. Like, I want to lift up Ryan here for making like a little sermon club. And funny enough, I feel like a lot of the girls who are in the group that come are from our small group. And so I think it's just been really nice for her to do that, and Efeteo too, just like hosting that and opening up their home and creating that environment where it feels like, oh, okay, cool, I don't have to do anything, which is kind of nice. And so, and just to be invited into that is really nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. All right, who else has some things? Okay, Chi Feng.
Good evening, everyone. For me, I feel like celebrate every special celebration and decoration together, set up, tear down, just cleaning, prepare the food for someone like have a needs, or volunteer together. You know, like even you're not helping each other, but we together helping something. Family, kingdom family need, or personal needs, or the hour of the church need. I feel that's made me feel very, very proud of our community.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer. So celebrations together, obviously within our small groups, just birthday celebrations that you commit to, make them special. And, you know, when we do things to celebrate as a whole congregation, but also locally within your community. And then Chi Feng brought up another thing. You feel like you belong when you volunteer together with others for a common cause. Like Chi Feng, you're still doing the prayer group on Sunday mornings, yes? And everyone's invited to join at 9:30. Join the prayer team. That is awesome. Please come and be on the prayer team. Pray for everything to go awesome, and it's just fantastic. And then you'll build connections and feel as though you belong. So thank you for so much for sharing that. Zahid, let's go ahead and have Zahid answer.
I shared Bible studies. I think that's one of the most powerful things where you really feel, one, that you belong to one another. Like, I know when I study with the guys, I think about my Bible studies and how six of them were my groomsmen. So you think about that relationship built over 6-7 years of, like, the goal is to help this person, to invite them into your family of Christ, to teach. And then, you know, you're all getting vulnerable and sharing your struggles, and you're praying and you're eating and you're fellowship. So I think that's, like, the most intimate, like, belonging is studying the Bible with new people.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's true. You build a lifelong bond and a commitment to one another, staying in there with each other, which fits into spiritual formation and training. It begins when we meet somebody at church and they want to dig into the scriptures, and it should go on a lifetime with one another, right? We need to stay in there with one another. That's how the church will really develop. Amen. So thank you for sharing that. Let's look at this passage. This is one that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." All right, so the day, I guess that's the end of time, when Jesus comes, when who knows, right? The day is, it's hard to say what that is, but it's, we know there's a limited time, and we need our faith to be strong, right? So I love this verse because it says, "Let us consider." So if you consider something, that means you've thought about it. You spend a little time considering, how can I spur one another, others, on toward love and good deeds? I mean, so when you come, when, right, to fit into what Diego said, when we come to Sundays, when we come to midweeks, which is part of devotion to fellowship. By the way, great job being at midweek. I think I'd like the whole church to come to midweek. I think it's good for your soul. I think it's needed. It helps you grow. It just adds a lot to our heart and mind and soul. So thank you guys for being here. Let's keep encouraging that kind of devotion. It will strengthen the church. But when you come, the scriptures say, consider how you may spur someone else on, all right? And so I want us to have a little discussion right here of this. What kinds of events or conversations help spur you on toward love and good deeds? All right, some of us might be really hard talk. Some of us just positive words. I don't know all the things that encourage you, but let's listen to one another for a few minutes. And so we can learn how to consider what we can do on Sundays and Wednesdays when we gather together to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Amen? All right, so let's have a couple-minute discussion on this question. Okay, Hunter, can you help me out again, buddy? All right, let's have a couple of people. Okay, right next to you, Sophia.
Okay, I remember when I was in the campus back in 2022, there was a service event in early January, and we were restoring a school. And I couldn't tell you the name of the school, but we were painting, we were cleaning, we were planting gardens, we were doing weeding. There was a blood drive. I passed out at the blood drive. But I just remember that day so vividly because we were there all day as a church, and I was having like deep conversations left and right. I'm like dirty, I'm sweating, I'm gross. But it was so bonding, I think, to be like all there together, multi-generational, like having conversations and then like all going out to eat afterwards. And I feel like we need more of those service events because that is what spurs me on.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. All right. All right. Who else? What spurs you on toward love and good deeds? Okay. Ifteo.
I don't know if this answers the question, but I'm going to share it anyway. Something that is helpful to me at times is seeing Christ and Christ-like behavior in adjacent scenarios. So if I'm at work or in something that doesn't feel like church, which is not a bad thing, it feels like church, but if I can spot Christ-like behavior just out in the world, it helps me feel encouraged to like keep going and to like kind of spot the positive and spot the Christ in the daily versus like only being at a Bible study or only being in a midweek, which those places are great, but I want to see it at the grocery store, in traffic, at work, et cetera, because it helps me keep going and taking on the smaller things that make a big bigger impact.
That's great. So it's the character of Christ when you see it lived out in, amongst people out there in the middle of the world. So that's a call for all of us, right? To spur each other on by our character and living it out wherever we're at. Okay, and then right next to her, Ryan.
I feel like for me, I don't know, I feel like Satan's scheme is to get us feeling really isolated. And so I think for me, what spurs me on towards love and good deeds is partnership, whether that be in doing good, godly, Christ-like things together, or also when people choose to be vulnerable, because I think so many people are struggling, but they feel like they can't struggle. And so I think when people are able to be vulnerable, that is extremely encouraging to see like how people overcame challenges versus just how people were seemingly perfect.
That's good. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So vulnerability does help us. Okay, now, of course, the word spur one another on, we teach this when we help one another understand the foundations of faith studies. We know if you spur a horse, right, that spur, it creates a little poke, right? Sometimes it's not always a nice gentle thing. Sometimes we need to be spurred on by somebody pointing out the hard truth that we need to hear. And I know I had a couple people I heard shared that helps them. So all these things help us grow. Thank you guys so much. We're going to conclude. I have a couple quotes from the book from Dallas Willard that I really want to urge you to get in your library, Renovation of the Heart. Like I said, it's a deep book. If you guys remember CJ's VIM that he always taught, right? Vision, intention, and means of understanding. Dallas Willard came up with that, and he describes it in this book, Renovation of the Heart. It is a very powerful way. If you fancy yourself being a teacher, an advanced Bible student, you want to dig in and read some Dallas Willard material. But, you know, in chapters 10 and 13, he does talk about the importance of transformation through community and that we are formed in community. There's a social dimension to it, and he changes us through relationships. And then as a leader, community is not optional to formation, all right? All of us need to understand that. It is one of God's primary tools. And here's two quotes from his book, a little bit about this, all right? I hopefully can read it. I know it's a little small. Okay, I think you guys can read it, right? It says, so this is from chapter 10. Can you guys see it? It's smaller on my screen probably. Spiritual formation is necessarily social spiritual formation. Good or bad is always profoundly social. You cannot keep it to yourself. Anyone who thinks of it as merely a private matter has misunderstood it. Anyone who says it's just between me and God or what I do is my own business has misunderstood God as well as me. Strictly speaking, there is nothing just between me and God. For all that is between me and God affects who I am. And that in turn modifies my relationship to everyone around me. My relationship to others also modifies me and deeply affects my relationship to God. Hence, those relationships must be transformed if I am to be transformed. So, one way to look a lot at our development spiritually is how our relationships are going between peers, between mentors, between people younger than you, between people of the opposite sex, between people with different upbringings, different backgrounds, different, just social backgrounds. We are a deeply diverse church. And one of the blessings of that is we can mature deeply in Christ. When we learn to connect and listen and enjoy the perspective that each other has about various things, right? It's important for us to be mature in relationships. And so I think one way to ask yourself, how are you doing spiritually, is ask yourself, how are my relationships? If there's a lot of friction, a lot of constant challenges going on, you want to just be humble enough to go, I want to grow. I got to figure out why is this going on? You don't want to just avoid conflict. Conflict helps you grow. And in a community, conflict is inevitable, all right? It's inevitable that we're going to have conflict. As iron sharpens iron, the Proverbs say, so one man sharpens another. So one person sharpens another. For us to grow spiritually, you're going to have to be integrated with people. And you will grow more the more you're connected to community. Amen? Let's close out with one last quote. This actually ends his book pretty much. He says, in bringing this chapter, and that's the 13th chapter, which is the last chapter of the book, to a close, we want to emphasize once again that all of the other details of church activities will matter little one way or the other, so long as all is organized around God's plan for spiritual formation in the local congregation as given in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So this is Dallas Willard, one of the most well-read, well-written, so many books. He's like, the main thing that counts is that we are devoted to the spiritual formation component of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, most of us just think, hey, that just says go evangelize. But the reality is that's the formula for spiritual growth, right? Go and make disciples means all of us committing to be an apprentice of Jesus, right? That's what he's saying. And he goes on, he says, no special talents, personal skills, education programs, money, or possessions are required to bring this to pass. We do not have to purify and enforce some legalistic system. Just ordinary people who are his apprentices, gathered in the name of Jesus and immersed in his presence, and taking steps of inward transformation as they put on the character of Christ. That is all that is required. And when you keep growing in Christ, evangelism happens naturally. You can't but want to help change the world and see people experience the goodness of knowing Jesus and the freedom of being broken out of besetting sins that have taken out on our lives and destroyed our lives. You can't but help want to pass on the joy you have when you are growing. So here's the thing. As a Westside church, we believe in spiritual growth until the Lord brings us home. We have never arrived, right? I hit this on Sunday. We have never arrived. There's always a journey you're going to go on. I love, as we read the Old Testament, that God sent Moses, right, out into the desert. And he was age 40 to 80, where he was being refined in character, right? He thought he was going to lead the Israelites at age 40. It wasn't until he was 80 that his character was developed enough to lead the people, and he sent them back to lead them out of Egypt, right? So do we have anyone in here 80 or older? Anybody? Nobody 80 yet? Okay. All right, well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Even if you're 80, Moses had to grow even after that. But none of us are getting that close. I'm getting up there, but I'm not that close yet. Spiritual growth is necessary all our life, amen? So let me close out with this. The belonging question. Are you merely present, or are you truly connected? Many disciples are around people, but still feel unknown. We can sit in church, attend a group, and still keep our inner life guarded. Belonging means being known, encouraged, challenged, and cared for. And so this whole discipleship lesson invites us to move from casual contact to intentional connection. I want to ask again that all of us commit to some kind of regular personal discipleship within our small groups, or it doesn't have to be. Maybe you would like a mentor, and you can ask for some help. It's nice to have an older person mentoring you as you're growing up. It's nice, honestly, older people, it's not a bad idea to have a younger person giving you some mentorship. I ask a lot of questions. I love being with the college students. I've been with them for a year and a half, going to midweeks. I learned so much from them. And, you know, there's the cultures that we're in is changing. It's nice to get mentorship from somebody younger just about how to relate, how to think, how to understand. It's not always a one-way street. It's a two-way street when it comes to discipleship. Amen? Let's commit to doing that. So your one challenge is just this. I wrote down some of barriers, but I think we talked a little bit about some of these barriers. But here's the challenge, all right? The one challenge we've got is this. Pair up with one other person and complete this sentence. What I'm really carrying right now is. Then answer, what kind of prayer, support, or encouragement do I need this week? So this is what I want you to begin within this week for the challenge, which is to meet with one person and have this type of question answered. Like really pointing out, here's the things I'm carrying right now in my life. Here's the weight that I feel. And then ask for prayer and encouragement, and then make it both of you sharing the same thing. All right, that's the challenge. All right, one intentional spiritual conversation where you're asking, hey, what are you carrying? And can you hear what I'm carrying? Let's know the weight, the depth of things that you feel. And I'll just tell all of you, I feel the weight of a lot right now with the staff leaving. Be praying for Carrie and I, the weight of hiring new couples to minister. The fact that, you know, CJ and Sheree helped mentor half the church, right? So half the church, we need to reinstitute mentorship and shepherding. We're going to bring in a new couple to help with that. We want the campus to grow, the singles to grow. We want our marriage doing well. We've had a lot of shifting. We want to see great things happen, but I feel the weight of many things. I feel the weight that financially the church will be doing well, right? I feel the weight of that, like, hey, we need to be in a good place to be able to hire new people. And so pray for me in that. These are some of the weights that I feel on my heart. I want to see the church flourish. I know a lot of the older brothers and sisters, they come up to me a lot and they say, hey, would any of the young YoPros take on some more leadership? Because if you notice, a lot of our key roles are led. Now, I want to say the worship team, thank you. It's mostly all YoPros. Thank you guys so much for that. Tech team as well as a lot of our singles, our you know, Michael and the whole team, thank you so much. But there's a lot of other roles we want to see our young people step up into. And I feel the weight of that, of inspiring people to go, hey, I want my life to be used for good things. So I'm just sharing some of the things on my heart as a church. I want you to meet with somebody this week and share what's on your heart. What are the things in your personal life? And then ask the person that you meet with, what are the things in their life? And if we'll do this on a regular basis, I know we have a couple, we're set up with them tomorrow night to do that very thing, right? We're going to ask these questions. We want to share our concerns, and they're going to share theirs with us. That's the kind of thing this church needs to be built on. It's real discipleship. Amen? Let's close out with a final prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we come to you now. We want to be devoted to the fellowship like they were in the first century in Acts 2. Father, we know we all belong to this body and that each of us belongs to one another and that you have a role for us and that we want to feel connected and we're needed. Father, we're needed and we want to feel needed. Father, I pray that you will guide this church to learn how to spur one another on deeply, that we'll grow. Father, that you'll draw other lost souls to us as we grow spiritually, others will be drawn to the West Side. Father, thank you so much for this time. Bless us, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.